Hello, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Hope you guys had a great week. Christmas is right around the corner. It's one of the busiest times of the year, right? So I hope everybody's out there that you're careful and you're just remember the reason for the season, right, is Jesus. So through all the chaos and the gotta get this, gotta bake that, just realize in the end, all that stuff is good and fun, but it's all about Jesus, right? So that's the spirit of Christmas, is to put our eyes and focus on Jesus. And I was looking over what to preach on, talk today about, and you know, the gospel kept coming into mind, the gospel, which is one of the most important thing that we need to be able to express, to explain, when we encounter people outside. And this world is, it's looking for something, and the way the world presents or entices this desire they attach on it pretty fast, and the objective, the goal, is for us, and through the gospels, to speak truth and to present something beyond this world, because everything this world can offer is only temporary. Because in the end, we're not promised tomorrow. You can gain all these riches on this earth, and today could be your last day, and you wake up and you're looking at Jesus, right? And that point, that's end game, guys. I mean, you don't get no second chance. You're a child of God or you're not. You know, one of the things that breaks my heart to the point is how many people are going to, and some are professing Christians, what really, really, really rocks me hard, that we may see in our churches, and I want to see them in heaven too. But when you look at scriptures, and I always say the tough sayings of Jesus is void a lot, we won't be seeing a lot of people that we normally see on this earth or in our church in heaven. Because he says, many are called, few are chosen. He tells us the way is narrow to him, and it's wide, that leads to hell, leads to destruction, and many will go down. That's including our brothers and sisters, or, you know, the ones in our church that we love so much. One thing we need to understand, we need to know that we're a child of God. We need to know the gospel. And the passages I'm going to read from today is from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6. And now I'm going to put that with Romans 1, 16. As you guys bow with me and we have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today on this Saturday, Lord, I don't know whoever is out there, whoever needs to hear this message. Let your words resonate from this humble vessel. Let your direction come through the words that proceeds out of my mouth. I give you everything that I have. There's nothing special about me. Let the Holy Spirit speak through me to whoever's out there that needs to hear this message. that needs to hear about the gospel, that may not be sure they are a child of God, or having issues being able to speak to people out there about the gospel, about how to become a child of God, how to have eternal life forever, how to be a disciple for Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray over our nation in this time of turmoil, this time of hate. We pray over our spiritual leaders and that's trying to stand up for the truth, and they're being knocked down when they speak it, when they're pointing this nation back to God. The enemy's strong, but you're stronger. This world is of Satan for now. But we know you're coming back soon. And you establish your kingdom on this earth. Heavenly Father, I pray just who's ever out there that is struggling during this time, this season, that may be suffering from a severe depression, anxiety, a hopelessness. God, I pray give them comfort. Bring somebody in their path to speak hope, speak truth, to hear what they're saying, and the words of wisdom from your gospel to give them hope and strength to endure the attacks that the enemy is having on their lives. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the last few weeks, maybe month, maybe a little bit more, we were going over spiritual warfare, and if you guys haven't listened to those MP3 players, I tell you, it's one thing that's lacking in our church is understanding of the spiritual warfare, and it starts with the invisible war, and it works down, and later I might try to figure out how to put a Bible study on my website, and where we can go into the spiritual warfare passages and break them down, and maybe discussions, but today I want to look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6, and Romans 1:16, and I want to talk about the gospel of salvation, and to me that's very important. So if you guys have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6. Moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which is also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also receive, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until the present, but some have fallen asleep. And then we flip over here to Romans. I just lost my page. There we are. Romans 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God until salvation to everyone that believes, to the Greek first, and from the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I don't know about you guys. I can be on the edge, you know, a point that I'm throwing my hands up and saying, hey, I'm done. You know, my hopes and dreams of this life, I ain't going to get them. You know, I ain't gonna make this six figure, a nice house, a several nice cars. You know, I like the Ford Mustangs and the Chevy Mustangs, and you know, and you look at, I'm a Ford fan, right? And I like the Ford F-150s, 350s, man. They're beautiful trucks, fully loaded, and maybe with a nice bass boat on there. And if you're not a Ford person, you know, maybe a Chevy fan, so you may like the Silverados or the Corvettes, or, you know, if you like the more fancier cars, like the BMWs, and, you know, everything I thought that was important. I never have all these material things in my mind, you know. And so what was the point of this life, you know, when your mind is focused on this, all these material things that you can put your hands on? And then you're flooded with lies from Satan and his demonic forces, and you hear them saying, you know, these lies, and you know, you start believing them, right? I know I did. And one minute you're like, whoa, I can't do this, you know. And with me, all that accumulated, and I decided life was not important to me, that I was never going to achieve what I thought that was important. So I attempted to take my life, but Jesus saved me from my attempt and from my very despair and hopelessness. At that point, he gave me a choice as the ambulance was taking me away and later in the hospital. You see, Jesus was very patient with me. His grace and mercy, I think of it, just it tears me up thinking how merciful he is to me, and the grace, and that it's for everybody. And I was running from him for over 20 plus years, you know, drugs to pornography. I tried to bury all the pain of my childhood and with everything I could get my hands on. You see, God spared my life so he could use me in these dark days. And they are dark. If you look at the news, one can get very depressed. But regardless of the darkness, I went through all that. My eyes, they were opened. I was spiritually blind to all this material stuff out there. Now, all this stuff don't matter to me. It's all good to have that. The thing is, you can't let it own you. And when I say own you, now, it's sad that many people don't realize this stuff owns them. The way you can figure that out, if it owns you, are you willing to give it up? Could you take that car, that fancy Corvette, and just give it to somebody and say, I'm good. I'll go drive me a 94 Volvo that has a miss in the engine. As long as it gets me to work, I don't care. But you're like, if you say, oh no, I can't give that up. It owns you, brother. It owns you, sister. You can't hide it. It owns you. I'm one preacher that will tell you the truth because I love you. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Even though it rattles my heart that I have to present a truth to you because I love you. And doing that, you may think I hate you, and I don't. You know, I encounter people as I go to church here and there and preach, and just in life at Walmart, and I talk to people, and I get their names, and I put them on, and listen, there's nothing special about me, but I put them on my prayer list, and I pray over them, because I don't know what, I may not see them again, but God knows exactly where they're at. He knows what they're doing. He knows what their plan of their life is, and I give them to him, and I pray over them, and I pray, Lord, whatever you're doing in their lives, just let it point to you. If they're not yours, let them become yours. If they are yours, let them be disciples. Let them have a fire burning in their heart for you to proclaim the gospel. You see, in our readings, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6, and Romans 1, 16. Paul is writing to the Corinthians and the Romans, and he's telling his audience about the gospel of salvation. It is sad we're living a time, and I believe we are living in the last days, and that is the last days that we will, that Jesus spoke of, that where he's coming back, and we have a message of salvation. Some call that the end times. We are in the end time that is leading to Jesus, and he is coming back soon. And we have a message of salvation that is literally diluted today. It's watered down. You know, I go through life through the week, and you know, God placed opportunities for me to witness as he does every one of his children. You just have to open your eyes, and you have to will not sacrifice that time, regardless of what you're doing that day. And he gives you opportunity, drop it. Let him take over. If you encounter somebody that's wondering about Jesus, nothing else matters more than to proclaim that gospel to them. But one of the amazing things with me when I encounter people and they profess Christianity, you know, and I'm not saying they are or they not, you know, and I'm very excited that I'm meeting another Christian, you know. I get very excited. I don't care where I'm at. I'm just, my heart just overflows that there's another brother and sister out there that willing to talk to me in front of whoever's out there watching. I don't really care. Maybe they'll get something from that conversation. Maybe the word of what we speak, that they just attach onto it, and it just keeps running through their head, right? And they're like, oh, and you know, that guy was talking about Jesus, and he was talking about Jesus came, he died for our sins, and you know, and but then, you know, I'm talking about, and I'm like, yeah, you're a Christian. I am too, man. I'm happy we're here at Walmart. That's good. We can have church right here at Walmart. We can have a revival right here at Walmart. I'm not beyond that, you know. But I start listening, and I'm like, whoa. Now I like, place the brakes here. And then I ask them, can they define salvation, right? And you get that, you know, if you're driving and if you hit a deer, I've hit several through my lifetime, and you get that deer headlight look, like they're like, uh-oh. I don't know how to put that in words. I don't know how to define that. Do you know that you're a child of God? That's one of the most important things to know. The devil cannot take that from you. There ain't nobody on this earth or the depths of hell that can take that from you when you become a child of God. And when the enemy tries to, he it's one thing he tries to work into there. You're not a child of God. Why are you doing that? And that's how we talk about the spiritual warfare, right? That's one of the lies that he wedges in there, and he tries to affect you. He tries to influence you in thinking something you're not. Well, if you're a child of God, you wouldn't be doing that. You see, it all begins. One of the points of salvation is to understand the beginning story, the Garden of Eden. You know, at one time there was a garden that God created. It was beautiful. It was perfect. It was not plagued by extreme heat or cold. It was just right. Think of a day you walked outside and it's just right. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. But you just stay outside all day just relaxing. And in this garden, the animals and they didn't eat no meat, right? They were all plant eaters. It was beautiful. God said it was good. I promise you, when he said it was good, it was good. There was no, Adam and Eve did not have no pain. They'd have no suffering. They didn't have none of these back pains. They didn't have a mortgage. They didn't have bills. They didn't have a water bill. They didn't have an electric bill. They were taken care of. It was a paradise. God provided everything for them. Their every need was met. They wanted for nothing. God gave him one command. Don't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it. You will surely, he said, die. And I don't know what's going through Adam and Eve's mind when all this was taking place, you know, but all we know is the story is that Satan came down, he went into the serpent, Eve was there, you know, and he started his deception on God's word. God said, do not eat it, and Satan's like, he don't know what he's talking about. You surely eat this, you'll be like him. He's just trying to hold something back from, even though they had everything they needed right there. Everything they needed. When we know the story that Eve took that fruit, a lot of times it's portrayed as apple was a fruit, but regardless what it was a fruit, and the consequence of her actions, and then giving it to Adam, and Adam took it, and their consequences of their actions both, that is where we get the fall of man, that's where we get the curse. This land, this world is under a curse. That's where we get all this pain from. God did not intend this to happen. We did that to ourselves. A lot of people get so angry about God, you know, why would he let this happen? He didn't let nothing happen. We did it. He gives us free choice. And when we look at Jesus, you know, John 3:16 tells us God sent his son, Jesus, to die for our sins. And the other part of that is because of this curse, Jesus and God are the same thing. But God tells us that he's going to send his son, and his son would have to die for and start correcting what we did wrong. That's why Jesus was sent to nothing of what he did is to correct what we did. Jesus was sinless. He had no sin. It's because of our sins. We nailed him on that cross. I know a lot of people will say, well, that was the Jews, that was the Romans. No, we did that. We're all related. From Adam and Eve, we are of that lineage. We are guilty. We're all guilty. We have blood on our hands. And that's why Jesus came. And that's why he had to suffer. And he had to suffer one of the most horrible deaths. And the thing is, what really rattles me is that it's nothing he did. It's what we did. And he loved us so much, so he allowed that to happen. And he allowed them to torture him and place him on that cross. And to nail him to that cross. Because he loved each and every one of us, and he still does to this day. And he offers salvation to each and every one of us. That's what it is. He tells us he gives it to everybody freely. He gives it. But the thing is, when he was on that cross and he took him down, he didn't stay on that cross. They placed him in the tomb, right? And then he rose that third day. The stone was rolled away. And he rose. And he was fully restored. Let me go back to, he was fully restored, right? And if we look at we look here, 1 Corinthians 15:1, Paul talks about, hey, we preach the gospel that you received, and he goes into, but also you have saved, if he's keeping in memory while I preach unto you. And what he's doing, he's preaching the gospel, he's preaching, if I deliver you first all which I received, that of Christ died, and that's first three, our sins according to scripture, he died on the cross. All sins, present, past, future sins, are forgiven. And he was buried, meaning they took him from the cross. And then he rose. And then he was seen by Cephas and by the 500 brethren at the time, meaning people saw him. He was fully restored. The nail scar hands remain, and his nails on his feet and his pierced side remains. That's his scars. That's the signs of his love. And you gotta realize when he rose, and then he was with, and then he left. And when he left, he was all through the gospel. He speaks of the Holy Spirit. He leaves the Holy Spirit. And when you become a child of God, when you say, okay, I get this. God sent his son. He died for my sins. He was nailed on that cross. He was placed in a tomb. He rose. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And then Easter rolls around. And yeah, I know there's thoughts on when Christ was born. But this is how our nation celebrates his birth. Well, we're moving away from it. We've been moving away from it and more progressively moving away from that. So it's sad that Christmas is starting to become more commercialized than anything, and away from Christ and focusing on Santa and reindeers and this and this and this. It's all about Jesus. And what I initially started out saying, it's the reason the season is about Jesus. It's his birth, because his birth signifies a start of a correction that we did, his birth, and then up to his death is all signification of what he did for us to correct what we did, and that was the sin in the garden. And he rose, he said, and he tells us he's going to leave the Holy Spirit here to come inside us. So once we become a child of God, the Holy Spirit comes inside us, and Jesus lives inside of each and every one of his children. That's what a lot of people confuse here. When the Holy Spirit gets inside you, it truly is inside you. You are changed. A lot of people miss that part about being changed. It's called regeneration. Simply means that your old life is no longer yours. You are new. Paul tells us you are a new creature in Jesus. Meaning, everything that you are doing, that you once were doing, that was not right. For example, hanging out with your friends and carrying on nasty, vulgar jokes. And the Bible's very clear, our communication should not be that way. But you can't do that no more. I speak from experience. I had the filthiest mouth that you could think of. I was a man of man. I could make all kind of sexual jokes and belittle women left and right. But once I became a Christian, once I yield to I quit fighting Jesus and I became a Christian, all that stuff, and I let the Holy Spirit reside in me, you know, and I let him have full control of everything I do, I couldn't do that. It grieved my Holy Spirit. All that old stuff, I couldn't do it. Even when I was running from Christ 20 plus years, and I had to drink because the pain was burning me inside. When I had those conversations, I would leave them and I would feel so disgusted in my soul. And I'm like, I can't, what? And I knew that was something, that was God, as Jesus inside me, telling me, hey, that's not right. I'm like, you know, I ain't listening to you. So I grabbed that 12-pack of beer and I started drinking it until I got numbed. And then the devil just kept resigning in my head, and I kept bearing the pain and my calling for 20 plus years. I did that, and I suffer the consequences of those actions to this day. And I deserve to suffer those consequences of those actions today because of my rebellious spirit. I pray that you guys are not like me, and that you quit fighting Jesus. But he tells us you are new. Meaning, when you do a conversation like that, you should come back and your spirit should be grieved. If you're doing that and your spirit is not grieved, I could get in several examples. One is, you know, when we look across this world, there's many examples. One, just recently, the Netflix, they're doing a sketch, and they, you know, it's called satire. It's supposed to be good fun, ha ha ha, Jesus was gay and he brought his friend. Why would that be funny? Why would a true Christian be laughing about that when they're defaming Jesus? Why are they laughing? There's something wrong with you if that don't grieve your spirit. And you say, oh, well, I'm a Christian. That's funny. Ha, ha, ha. What would Jesus do? If you look at the gospel, would he be laughing? Why aren't you? And you're supposed to be a child of God. You're supposed to be a representation of Jesus. And you're laughing? I hate to break the bad news. You're not a child of God if your spirit is not grieved when you hear that. And you're thinking, ha, ha, that's good fun. You are not. You are a child of the devil. And somebody has seriously lied to you. And I'm here to tell you the truth. Because I love you. That's not funny. That is unholy. Another thing, the Hallmark Channel. The Hallmark Channel is I love watching the Christmas movies. Now I have canceled the whole Hallmark package because they are now talking about doing homosexual family-friendly movies. It's going to happen. And they're already doing the commercials celebrating same-sex marriage. This grieves my spirit. And if you're a child of God and you're watching that, that will grieve your spirit too. And now I'm not just picking on homosexuality. If you look at fornication and adultery, how it's just spread across the TV. You know, this stuff should grieve our spirit. The language should grieve our spirit. We are supposed to be separate from this world. We're not supposed to be part of this world. The problem is, instead of us influencing the world because we want to be just like the world, but we also want the fresh benefits of being a child of God because we understand what heaven is and it's beautiful. But the thing is, you can't hold on to both. You will lose one of them. This world will teach you and say, hey, you can hang on to both of them. That's not what God says in His Word. We look at the Word of God. This is not my opinion. This is straight from the gospel of Jesus Christ. He tells us you cannot serve two masters. You will hate one or you will love the other. He tells us many are called, meaning I offer my salvation, but few will choose it because they love this world too much. Matthew 7:13-14 tells us wide. There's two ways, right? One is wide, one's narrow. One wide is beautiful. It paved with rock and, you know, birds are singing. There's no pain. And Jesus tells us in a few scriptures down that many will say, Lord, I mean, there's two and the wide and narrow. The narrow is it got these jagged rocks, you know, and it's wavy and there's maybe stickers sticking out and you're getting cut. And that's the narrow way. That's the painful way. And then you go down from Matthew 7 a little bit. And he tells us in that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out demons? Did all these wonderful works? Didn't I go to church every Sunday? Didn't I just sing this beautiful song? Didn't I go up there and preach to a million people? And they said, hallelujah. And maybe some got converted, but my heart's still far from you. He said, work of you, Nicodemus, sin, I never knew you. Depart from me. Man, that is rough. It hits me hard. And I look at you guys and pray that, you know, all you guys, that y'all don't fall in this category. Because I want to see everyone of or whoever's listening to this in heaven with me. You have to change. You have to be generated. You have to have a fire burning into your heart. You got to go tell somebody about Jesus and what He's done for you. Maybe you're at Walmart, Sonic, Dairy Queen, the mall, the street. It doesn't matter. Jesus will provide the opportunity. You just have to yield yourself to Him. You let that Holy Spirit inside you, fire burning in your soul to tell the truth. Every opportunity you got, you just jump on it. You see, that's what it's all about. When you look at Romans 1, he tells us, I am not ashamed. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, Greek, the Jew first also, and to the Greek. He said, I am not ashamed, Meaning, when we have those opportunities and we recognize it and we know, and then we say, oh, you know, I ain't going to. I'm in the workplace and they're going to shun me. You are a shame. You have became a shame. And if your spirit is not grieved, then you are not a child of God. Now, we're going to mess up. And you do that and you go back, you're like, oh, man, I just messed up. And there's, you know, I feel like I did that, you know, and you repent. Part of that is repentance. We will mess up in this life where none of us are perfect. It's all about discipleship, right? Once you recognize God sent His Son, you recognize He died on the cross for all our sins. He rose and He left the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit resides in you. And when you mess up, it will correct you. And that's a sign that you're a child of God when you make a mistake and then you repent, and God repents. You repent, God forgives you of what you did, and then you go back out there and you may mess up again, but you will keep getting grieved. Eventually, you will make the right decision. You will come to that point where you will do what the Holy Spirit allows you to do. Some of us are more stubborn than others. I say I've done it for 20 plus years, being rebellious. I hope you guys ain't that stubborn. See, we have to deny ourselves and pick up the cross. That's the other part of it. Once we are a child of God, we become His disciples. We start growing. Some are slower than others. And that process is painful. That's why He said we have to deny ourselves. We have to deny ourselves. And that to me is hard. I struggle with that. And today I still struggle with it. But I'm getting better at it as I grow in my Christian faith. To deny myself and to pick up a cross daily, that means we will encounter things throughout the day that we have to endure. Things we have to face. As a Christian in this world, it's not a playground, it's a battlefield. And this world hates you. If you're out in this world and they're loving you and you're blending right in and you're doing all this conversations of filth and you're just blending in with everybody else, that's contrary to Scripture. And I'm going to be the first one to tell you, if it's contrary to Scripture, it's not of God, it is of Satan. I don't care if your pastor told you, I don't care if evangelists told you, I don't care. They are not correct. There's many wolves within our churches that are telling and spatting lies, and they will be judged according to their works. Their evil works, they will be judged. But God will provide opportunities for the truth to come out. For instance, what I'm speaking now is truth, is straight from the Bible. And if you're listening to this pod, you have the opportunity to look at your life and to realize you're not living the way God has spoke to the Scripture. As a new Christian, as a child of God, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're not doing it. As long as you got a breath in your body, you can correct that. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, it took me a while, you know, 20 plus years to get it. I pray it doesn't take you guys that long. I truly believe we do not have 20 more years on this earth. Just look at the state of it. I pray that if there's one listening to this broadcast that has not truly accepted Jesus into our heart, I laid out salvation to you. I pray that you do not wait before it's too late, because God loves you. He does not force Himself on you to become a child of God. It's optional. He gives it to you freely. But the pain of discipleship will cost you. If you look at the disciples, it costs every one of them something. We're no better than them. A lot of times in our mindset, we think we're better than them. Discipleship will cost you everything, but you will gain everything. That makes sense, right? It may cost you this world, but it will gain you eternal life that is forever. The pain, I was reading one time, it said, just carrying your cross in this lifetime, right? the pain that you may suffer is one day in hell. And people are going to hell, and that's forever. But you carry your cross and you suffer in this life for a time, a short period. Then afterwards, you're no longer in pain. You're no longer in suffering. Your mind is different. You have everything. It's like the paradise that's lost, paradise restored. You will want for nothing again, and forever and ever and forever. You know, that blows my mind, right? Eternity. You know, the sad truth is those who do not truly accept Christ into their life, you know, they will not go to heaven. Heaven is real, so is hell. Hollywood can dream up enough horror movies on hell, and they may cringe your stomach when you're watching them, but hell's more horrible than they could even imagine. Do not put off salvation, because we are not promised tomorrow. As I'm finishing this up, I just want to tell you, I want to leave you with a question. Can you say 100% I am a child of God? Can you say 100% that when I mess up, the Holy Spirit inside me corrects me? Can you say 100% when that correction is, I fall on my knees and repent immediately, not thinking it's okay? Can you say 100% that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and that when you walk out in that world, you have a fire burning in your heart to tell people about the gospel? Let those questions resonate in your mind. And if you can say yes to all those questions, and get this, you know, we're going to mess up. That's when the Holy Spirit corrects us. But it should be correcting you. If you're doing all these things, I'm excited for you. And I'm excited if you are a child of God, because I know I'm a child of God. The devil cannot wedge that lie in my mind anymore. I'll see you in heaven. And I don't know who this reaches, if it reaches anybody. It's just what God lay on my heart to do, to do these. The outcome is all His. I hope all you guys have a wonderful weekend, a blessed Sunday. I pray that your teachers, your preachers, when they speak for God, and that they speak to each and every congregation what's going on in their lives, so they can uplift and preach the truth to each and every one of y'all. If you guys would bow with me, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, just thanking you for everything you have done for us. Forgive me if I failed you in delivering the message that you need me to deliver through this MP3 or this broadcast. I pray to you, God, that you just, whoever's over there going through things in their life, Lord, I don't know who they are, but God, we lift them up to you, and we pray, Lord, that your will be done in their life, that if they're not a child of God, that they recognize they're not, and that you guide and direct them through your word and through the message of your servants, that they come to realize, I am a child of God, and this is why I'm a child of God, and they can explain to whoever they encounter the joy of their salvation, Lord. Lord, thank you for getting us through the week. I pray that everybody that's have a wonderful and beautiful Christmas, and that they just put their eyes on Jesus, because He's the reason for this season. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.